We'll start with a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I didn't know what you were going to do.
Do a moment of silence.
I wasn't sure.
Either right
we
now.
Did a half moment.
We did a half moment. Well, we'll do. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
There was one typo that we fixed in the. I didn't have the attendance right at the top, but all the votes were right, so that's been corrected.
So any other
I'll make
discussion?
It.
Or maybe. Yep.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor? Aye. Okay. Motion carried.
Now that meeting, me and Tracy weren't at.
Yeah.
Correct. Right?
But I did send an email early in the morning.
Yeah.
It appeared I was a no-show at the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would like that on the record.
You knew about me being absent.
Yes, I did. Amanda's here, and so she can get out of here in a timely
fashion.
We're going to move resolution 139?
139.
I tried to flag them for you so you can...
It's authorizing the chairman of Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation to accept grant funds for the Ulster County Climate Change Adaptation Planning Project and amending the 2018 Ulster County Budget Department of the Environment. So,
moved by...
Did you have anything you wanted to say? Or?
Oh, just a second. Moved by...
Oh, moved by...
I'll Green. Move it.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Well, Manna moved it and...
I second it.
Okay.
And I would like to request to be added as
a Oh, Dave should probably sign that.
George.
So we'll add Manna as a sponsor of 139.
Yeah, I'd like to be added too.
Yeah, great. And I'd like to be added too.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions?
Well, can you want to just give us a little bit of
sure.
Since you're here.
I'm here.
Thank you.
Through the consolidated funding application last July, the county applied again to the DEC's Climate Smart Communities grant program. It was the second year that they've offered that grant program. The first year is how we were able to access the grant funds for the composting improvements. So it's been a very good grant fund for us. And for this project, we're focusing more on basically a climate change adaptation planning project. The main focus is to take a lot of the information that's out there as far as impacts of climate change that can be expected in New York State. And those are primarily changes in temperature, increase in temperature, increase in precipitation and change in intensity of precipitation events, and sea level rise. And to look at those three main, physical changes and evaluate the impact to kind of county government operations. And the purpose is to help us to kind of plan for as far as mitigation and adaptation to those impacts of climate change on county government. At the same time, because we're going to be doing kind of looking at state level reports and kind of distilling them down to what that means for Ulster County, one of the main focuses of this grant is to basically create a set of tools in which municipalities can then follow suit and do something very similar to that. So municipalities that are interested in doing more planning around climate change, mitigation, vulnerability assessment, adaptation, will be able to support them in that process. It's built off the model that we currently use where we have an environmental planner in the Department of the Environment who's funded through a grant agreement between the county and Cornell Cooperative Extension to provide technical support around flood hazard mitigation in the west of Hudson, City of New York watershed. That has been a really successful model, having somebody who can get hands-on, get into the details on those programs, impacts, how to access grant funding for those communities and provide that kind of one-on-one technical liaison has really allowed them to make some great strides in flood mitigation planning in the west of Hudson watershed. So we're hoping to kind of extend that model to climate change, you know, planning for the rest of the county. So we're looking forward to that.
Are you going to hire someone from within, or is this, are we getting somebody new, or are we extending somebody's job description? What
so how it is right now, it would be for, because we can't really carry a full-time, the grant would cover what would be equivalent of either contractual services over a two-year period or a part-time position over a two-year period. How we've set it up with the state in the budget would be for basically to leave that as a contractual services line over 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it could be contracting with someone to provide the services.
And do we have anybody in mind yet? Or
no,
do we?
Not right now.
Not yet.
Yeah.
There would be an RFP.
Some kind of, yeah, procurement. Yep.
How far back do you go with your comparisons?
For
when you're doing your climate change
study. Climate change? So it depends on the different models that you're using or the different reports. So the science is going to be, we're not doing any of the science firsthand. We're going to be relying on things like ClimAid and the Northeast Regional Climate Center. And, you know, one of the important things, too, is then to look at the changes and trends going forward for precipitation and not just look at the rear-looking data.
Is there, I'm looking through here and it's a lot of boilerplate.
Oh,
is there
absolutely.
A project description?
So I just have three copies. I'm happy to share this. This is like the three page distilled
you.
Tasks and.
Yep. Just,
sorry, I didn't.
I want to have it for the climate.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So.
Did you just have a, did you just lower the hours of a staff?
No.
In your?
No.
You have a guy by the last name of Hodgka? Did he
lower
go from 80
average.
To 70?
80 to, he went to, he was temporarily on a 40-hour schedule the end of 2017, and he's on a 35-hour.
When
he's
did he go to 40, and why?
He went to 40 in the end of 2017.
Just for a bit?
Yes.
So now when he went down to 70... Did he get an hourly raise to keep Matt that 80-hour a week pay?
That's what's in the budget, yeah.
How did we justify that? And why wasn't that run past somebody? So you temporarily go to 40, which gives him a raise. You pull him back down to 70 and give him a $5 an hour raise to keep him at that 80-hour pay.
You have to, but I don't think that.
This is the only time I get access to department heads. I think it's an interesting question and an interesting turn of events there. I just wonder, we can just do that inside the county? You're on Ways and Means. It's
well, it would. I mean, I would. I'm unaware of this, but it would have gone through the executive during the budgetary process.
And it goes
who approved
through the budget.
That?
It goes through the budget. It's part of the approved budget.
Who? But did anybody ever? Did you ever talk to anybody about that? And how do you justify saying, okay, we're going to temporarily give you 80 hours a week because we need you here a couple more hours, which makes
you make more.
Yeah,
I think this probably is the time to.
Yeah,
well, this is the environmental committee, and I have a department head here.
I just think you're kind of blindsiding her a little bit.
It's the only way I'm going to get answers on this kind of stuff. I really feel like we need
to. It goes through the budget process.
Yeah,
so that
like
it's all part of the budget process.
I feel like we could get answers to this. I mean, I was unaware of this, but I think, but what's before
so
us?
You could ask some specific questions.
Can you make
you
yourself available
meeting,
to the next
so,
Ways
yeah.
and Means meeting?
Thank you.
I'm sure someone from finance or the county executive's department, we can, if you have questions about that, they can be answered.
I have a lot of questions about that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, maybe we that would be more appropriate for Ways and Means.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's Ulster County, and I work for the taxpayer, and this is the only time I get a chance at somebody's department heads, and I'm going to take it. I mean, I just don't approve of this kind of stuff.
One thing that I think moving forward is that probably, which is on us, the legislature, and in years past we've done it, is during the budget cycle to have a real, in this case, the Department of Environment would come to this committee if we asked the department to really go through what's in the proposed budget so that we can really, because we've done that in years past, and each committee called in the department.
So that, we can do that.
And that would be great. And that would be the time
to
do
it.
I can see where Joe is going with this, because what happened is, if you take a look at one of the things that the comptroller got chastised for, was doing the very same thing. And he ended up getting $200,000 cut from his budget. And
it was actually not the same thing.
No. This is far worse. If
no,
they would have lowered their hours
thing.
And kept the money, that would have been the same
thing.
No,
what
thing.
I'm saying is that the original argument against the comptroller was the idea that what he did was he raised their hours so he could get their salary up because they wouldn't give him a raise. So
but
this
they
is
had
just
to work,
the
they
same
had to work
thing.
Five extra
just
hours.
Reverse.
I mean, I mean, I guess there's a correlation.
But there was
to
a big, big to do, and that's one of the reasons why Hector talks about it and Trinity.
Why don't we formally get some questions together?
Yeah, that could be for another.
And then you can be more prepared for questions that you wouldn't be able to just necessarily know off the top of your head. Or
well, I would
if
hope.
You're not the right person to answer the questions, then we could have the right person.
With all due respect, I think you should have answers for giving somebody a raise like that.
If it's
temporarily.
A procedural question.
And if this is the way the environmental committee is going to be run.
Well, it's not giving people a raise, extending their hours for a portion of the temporarily is not giving a raise.
When they
temporarily is additional hours, correct?
No, but here's what happened, Tracy. They went to 80 temporarily. So let's just say they went from making, we'll just make up a number, from 50 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
When they went back down a couple of months later to 70, they gave this person a $4 or $5 an hour raise and kept them at the 80-hour a week pay.
Right.
This is catamount, in my opinion, unless we can get some justifications for this. This is not okay if that's what happened. So let's get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I feel
if
like
you have a procedural question, you should ask the folks who, you know, I don't think that this is by no means similar situations have very much happened in the past. So if that's...
I heard that from Mr. Cornell the other day, just to find out later that he had misspoke. There's other times where we're moving people temporarily to 80 hours, moving them back to 70 and keeping them at 80-hour pay.
I understand the question that you're trying to ask.
Yeah, but that happens
but
a lot, is what you're telling
me? But I think that this is... I did not say a lot, but it is not unprecedented.
I think we'll address this.
I hope it's unprecedented, I'll tell you that.
All right, do we have any other questions that are related to the resolution? No? All right, so we'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? No? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
So resolution 61, is that yours, Dave?
I believe so.
Dave, yes. Okay. So what I talked about before, I don't think everybody was here, that what I'd like to do is set a half hour time limit today for discussion and set up a meeting. Maybe we can come up with a date tonight to just sit down and bring, because Brian's not here. Laura wants to be here. I think there's other couple people that are interested in, what we come up with. And I think, and I'll let you speak in one second, Dave. I think it'd be best if we just came up with one thing and not had it, so confused with whatever. But go ahead, Dave.
Let's
go. Well, I think, Mary.
In 120, just for discussion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll move them both for discussion.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Mary, you have the, you could create
a
sub.
Need a second. Just a second, real quick.
Second.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. You can create a subcommittee. It might be three people, and then we could all do
that. But I guess we decided we want it more.
I'd rather. I think we should just have a special meeting because we're only five on the committee, and I don't think this is even going to be all that complicated. I mean, I think the plastic bag discussion guide is going to be a guide for the questions that. I think still remain are outliers on the draft that I submitted. Dave can speak to the draft that he submitted, and I brought Jordan Christensen. This is Jordan. She can introduce herself when we're ready, but as a resource, someone who's done a lot of work on the subject, the committee's met her before.
And then we also can see where we can come together.
And where we can get consensus. Yeah.
Can we just vote one down and keep one and roll with that?
Well, we can just...
What do you think?
Hold them, right?
But let's get it down to one, I think.
Yeah, I think the
Mary
Saint.
Our
goal is to turn it into one.
Yeah.
And we've done that before. There was a declaration to start one, and there were several resolutions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do that again. I don't think expedience is a substitute for quality, and I really want to make sure that...
I'm not trying to rush it.
No, I know you're not.
But I don't think it's necessary to...
I don't think we... I don't think... I guess Dave can make his argument up for 61. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty confident that the working model that we should be working from in terms of getting support in the body is 120. And the issues that I've laid out in the guide are the things that we need to, the details we need to work through, because nothing, to Manna's point, it's not set in stone, and I'm not trying to rush it.
Right.
These are the things that, there are issues that we've discussed before in committee, and some that we came close to resolution, some that we had resolution, I just, for the purpose of a draft, had to make a decision.
Where did yours come from?
I modeled it on several previous laws, both out, I mean, the primary was out west, some of the out west laws.
No, mine was, mine came from Portland, Maine, basically. It was modeled after that. I mean, I just used the numbers that were there. I mean, the numbers are neither here nor there. I mean, I just, like, for instance, I go to my favorite store for groceries is Aldi's. Mm-hmm. And I go there because, for a number of reasons.
Cheap cheese.
Cheap. And you get good products, and of course you have to buy a bag there. It's a European model, and you get the bag. It's a thick plastic bag that you buy for 10 cents, and you can probably, who knows how many times you can use it, or you can buy a paper bag, which is 7 cents.
Or you can bring your own.
What I often do, because I'm an idiot, I bring the bags, I put them in my car, and then I walk in the place and forget that I leave them in the car, which drives me nuts, you know. So I use a Europe because they always have the boxes there, because they cut the boxes out, and the way the store is done, I just grab one of the boxes and I fill up the box. And, I'm reusing whatever that is. And then recycle the box. But having said that, that's their model. And I think maybe we need to push towards that type of a model, that you can buy them, but make them reusable if you're buying them. If you're buying a plastic bag, it's a plastic bag that can be used several times.
Yeah, the problem, I mean, in terms of talking to, the reason why I am advocating for using 120 as the working model over 61, just to keep it simple, is in my conversations with people, particularly in the Democratic caucus, there is not the support for legislation without a plastic bag ban included. 61 doesn't ban plastic bags. It allows the plastic bags to... The single use, the so-called single use, whatever name you want to give them, but the throwaway plastic bags, it allows them to be used, but just for a minimum fee. There are members of the Democratic caucus who have said, in no uncertain terms, they will not support legislation without a plastic bag ban as a part of the component. So, based on my count, we don't have the numbers if we model off of 61, which is just a fee. That's what it is. It's a fee for everything. So while a fee does show reduced numbers, and again, Jordan can speak with expertise to this, the numbers that have been seen across the nation, both east and west, are less with the straight fee than with the hybrid, with the ban and the fee for the alternatives, which is what this is, which is what the 121 is proposing. I think the details that have to be worked out are things like, are here, like what stores do we want to cover? How broad do we want to go? What should the minimum charge be? people who were in the committee before know that there was a big discussion, 5 cents, 10 cents, 1 cent, we were all over the place. And then I also put in certain things that based, you'll see if anyone has read the discussion guide, certain things that I believe we should take out, just because I think they will be onerous for businesses. Even though there are models where they exist, I think it's better that we put in something that's easier for the businesses to adopt.
Sorry, were you done?
No,
I agree with a lot of all this. Look, nothing creates innovation like pain and necessity. I said that last week, and I think it's our job here to create those two things. We're on a dangerous trend line, and I'm all about trend lines when we look at where we're at as far as what we're burying and what we're doing with this stuff and water quality, all these different things, the diseases that people are getting. In 20 years, give or take, this is not going to be a discussion. And we're going to be, I'll be almost 60, and then I'll be ready to completely ban all these things. I just find that to be silly. If we're worried about upsetting people, I don't think you do that when you're making real good legislation. You really got to look at the facts. And I think the facts are, I think it's time. Why wait any longer? I want to ban it. I don't want to, I'll say this as an owner of a retail business. You're putting me in a tough spot with these fees. I'd rather tell somebody I can't do it than I got to charge you 5 or 10 cents. I'll just tell you right now, it's going to annoy people more. My customers are going to be more annoyed at me every time they pay that 5 or 10 cents.
You're saying if there's still plastic and you have to charge
for it. I'm talking about charging for either. I know in yours you want to charge for the paper. What I'd rather see us do is deal with plastic now, ban it. Give them time to reuse their stock, to use up the back stock that they have, and prepare their clientele for the ban that's coming. And I've said this before, too. I turned around today to go back and get my cell phone. If we do this and we do it right, you'll be turning around to go back to get your reusable bag. It's just where we have to go. When it comes to paper, I hope that in a year or two from now, whoever's sitting in this committee is talking about maybe a paper bag ban down the road, but I want to ban plastic. I want to leave the fees out of the paper bag part on this personally. I wouldn't be unopposed to it if you got the votes for it, but I will tell you this. I would rather have a ban. I'd rather have a ban on everything.
Yeah, I would like to, after we speak a little more, open it to Jordan, who has a lot of experience in introducer, et cetera. But my concern, Joe, with, I totally agree with the ban. My concern with just having a ban without having, having a ban will be a great decrease in plastic, no question. But what I worry is that many stores will just switch to the alternative, paper. So we won't be changing any habits. We'll just be changing one bad habit for another bad habit. And yeah, paper is more expensive, as you know,
exactly,
than plastic. And so the people it's going to hurt the most without a mandatory fee are small businesses like yours that have to eat it to keep up with everybody else. So they just say, you know what? Now, if we have a mandatory fee, the plastic's out of the picture. You are protected in terms of your customers. This is the way I'm looking at it. You can say to your customers, I have to charge you 5 cents for this, or whatever the number is. It's on the legislature. In your case, it's unique because you're also a legislator, and hopefully you will have voted for it. But you say, I have to charge you 5 cents. And what happens as a result, which has been well demonstrated across the country, is that people stop buying the bags. They want them free, so they start bringing their own.
Yeah.
If you allow them to just get paper for free instead, they're just going to take 20 paper bags at the supermarket at a greater cost to the store and to the ownership. So that's my concern.
I'd like to answer that. One, the smaller stores, the family-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. The small businesses, the ones I care about.
Yeah.
I don't lay up at night worrying what I'm doing at Hannaford or Target. So the fact that you're charging them, they are bottom line driven. They get charged three times as much, at least, for a paper bag as a plastic bag. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have an onus on getting reusable bags into their customers' hands. I'll tell you this, a lot of small businesses, I know a lot of the liquor stores, which were really big plastic bag, all the liquor stores around me, including my own, have switched to paper. And we're paying more for paper because we feel Fitz's, I believe, did, JK's did, I did. So the small businesses are going to be able to push their customers towards reusable. A lot of them have already gone to paper, so that's not new to them. And the big stores, I'm not worried about what it costs them. And they're going to be pushed by the bottom line to do the same thing that they're going to be doing anyway if we do. So I'm whatever we come up with, I'll vote with, but I would prefer to ban plastic and talk about paper. And I'm not kicking a can down the road. We can ban paper in a year or two, but it breaks down much better.
But are you talking about if you're banning plastic, are you banning all plastic bags?
Just
no matter how thick they are, or in other words, how reusable they are? Because in a sense, you can buy, you're talking about the paper bags. The problem is with paper bags is you get to use them a couple times if you want to. I mean, if you fold them and do everything you got to do, you can get them, a thicker plastic bag you can use repeatedly. I mean, I have an Aldi's one. I think I've used it 25 times.
You're talking about the woven plastic,
it's just a thicker plastic. It's made probably with a lot thicker mill. I don't know what it is.
Can I ask?
I was actually going to bring one with me just to show you what it is.
I think all plastic should be banned. That's me. I don't want anything to do with thicker plastic.
So maybe.
But then there's some of stuff that's woven plastic that's used as reusable bags.
I use those too. So maybe the Jordan Christensen.
And in fact, if you go out to when I was in California, each time I went there, there was like a campaigns going on, and people handed out those type of things with their name on them. In fact, I have a few of them.
So this is Jordan Christensen. Maybe you can introduce yourself and talk a little. You've met many of the committee members before. But
yeah. So for those of you that I don't know, I'm Jordan Christensen. I'm with Citizens Campaign for the Environment. So we're in New York and Connecticut, and we've worked with a lot of municipalities, including Suffolk County, on, you know, bring your own bag legislation. So I just want to say off the bat, generally, we're supportive of both the sort of 5-cent fee on both, as well as the ban fee hybrid. Where you ban the, you know, most problematic, the thin plastic bags, and put a fee on everything else. The one thing that we generally don't like to push forward or support is just banning the thin plastic bags, only because that's what we first pushed about a decade ago. We worked with about a dozen municipalities to do that. What happened is over time, you know, for the first maybe 6 months, there was a lot of public education, a lot of push. All the stores had great signage. People would remember their own bag. But after time, it's really gone downhill where either stores are giving out free paper bags, or much worse, what happens is you have to choose a thickness for the plastic bag, as we were talking about, because a lot of the 99-cent bags in, like, the CVS, those are plastic, and people are reusing those hundreds of times. So basically, whatever mill you're going to choose to ban, a lot of places do 2.25, I've seen 4, I've seen 12. What'll happen is the larger retailers, the ones that can sort of eat the cost, will go with a slightly thicker bag. So if you ban it at 4 mil, they're going to give away the 5 mil bag for free. Yep. So, like, for example, City of Chicago did this. They did just a ban with no fee, and they actually had increases in their waste stream, which is the number one reason why they wants to get rid of the bags in the first place. So we like to do either the fee or the ban fee hybrid. And I would just say overall, in terms of reduction in litter, in terms of getting people to bring their own bag, in terms of less plastic entering local waterways, what we're seeing is that if you ban the thin plastic bags and put a small fee on everything else, that has the highest level reduction. So, like, Los Angeles County has had a 94% reduction with that model of legislation, including a 25% decrease in paper. Because that's the number one thing, is we don't want everybody switching to paper. With the fee, we've also had some success. It's a little bit less, though. So Washington, D.C. did it first. Originally, they had like 85% reduction for the first few months, just like those villages had everybody bring their own bag. And then people kind of acclimated. It's down to maybe 60%, which for a city the size of Washington, D.C. is huge in terms of plastic reduction. And we're seeing kind of the same thing in Suffolk County. One of our big chain supermarkets has reported 80% reduction. Two of the other big chain supermarkets are at 50%. So, you know, for a county of 1.3 million people, it's huge, and we're seeing more and more people bring their own bags, but we're not getting the sort of California numbers, unfortunately.
And
so
the places that use the hybrid outside of California are seeing high numbers as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just a California
Yeah, so it's just California. They had over 100 municipalities do it, and they went first. So a lot of them spent a lot of money on, you know, 100-page economic studies. They did full EISs. We just have a lot of data out of there, you know. So a lot of the smaller municipalities haven't done those sort of in-depth studies. So we can say San Jose did an entire litter survey and had an 89% reduction in litter in their storm drains. We don't know that number for Newcastle because they're a little town.
Right,
but just anecdotally,
right,
we're hearing, higher numbers.
Because when I was in San Jose, they had campaign season, and virtually every candidate that was running for alderman and such were giving away bags.
Yeah.
You know, people were getting free bags, and, you know, people would stop and pick them up, and, you know, it's great advertisement. You know, you're walking around with them all the time. So.
Yeah, we worked in, like, some of the little, like, Long Beach down on Long Island. We worked with all the retailers, and they would just, like, put in a little portion of money, and they would get their logo printed on reusable bags. It's great advertising for them. And it's just good publicity. Like, I feel like the only reason a lot of these places have gotten the public support is because legislators and environmental groups have gone out and done these bad giveaways where you could talk to people about why you're doing it. So it's just a good education tool, too.
Yeah, we talked about that, remember, in the last term about creating the legislature putting in a budget, and Rich Parody's suggestion was to have an art contest.
You just got
to
take them out when you're going to the store.
So given all of that, and again, coming back to the fact that, Joe, what you're talking about sounds to me like, I mean, you what you most support is the ban, so the legislation that doesn't have the ban at all, that just has a fee, is a problem, and for other members of the Democratic caucus, it's a problem. Dave, I would love to have you sign on to working off of the 121 model, I'm just calling it the 121 model, and having all of us work together, because I'm telling
you.
Well,
I haven't read through the 120 model yet, so I need to read through it first. I mean, I know the other one works. They've been using it, and they've used it in a number of places.
But it's not going to have the support here, because the members that want the ban aren't going to support it, because they don't want to see plastic bags being sold. Someone like Laura said to me, I will not support legislation that allows you to put a 5-cent.
But she's not going to support it with the 5 cents on a paper bag either.
She's open to the discussion.
And the only way you're going to do that, the only way it's going to work is if you have that. You have to have both. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
I agree.
Because you're just creating one, you're changing one pollutant for another, is basically what you're doing. I mean, granted, it's biodegradable, but the problem is it's still an energy, it's still using a lot of energy to create.
I really feel strongly we can get the support. I think we need to work through all these details.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But I think we can get the support.
Well, maybe we can send
Manna,
do
you like a
to,
ban?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, I definitely support. I haven't got the numbers
for it. I don't even.
120.
I keep saying 120.
Has anyone talked to Brian about ban over or compared to fee or nothing? I mean, no one else?
I think Brian said to me, I know he may have other issues, was that he doesn't like the term single-use bag because he says what you're going to he said definitions are very important and we're going to get plenty of people in here saying that they use them to put their cat litter in. Yeah. It's not single-use. They're using them more than once. And he said just avoid that whole discussion by not using that term.
What term is used?
You can use carry-out bag.
Carry-out bag. Okay.
Yeah, check-out bag.
Yeah, I think that's
an easy
solution. I own a retail store. I've had 2 customers in 3.5 years bring back my, and I gave away thick bags. 2 customers.
Single use, you mean?
No,
well,
not reusable.
The reusable, the real life.
No, the plastic bags. I mean, they're single use, but we're not, Brian doesn't want single
we
use.
We have heard this
because
before,
because you can use them again.
Yeah.
You can put your cat litter in them. I mean,
we had legislators speak to both the cat litter issue and the fact that they use them, they take them and then use them to line little trash bags. So they said to me in previous incarnations, right, I use them twice. okay. Yeah. I definitely will not, you have
forever.
My word, get caught up on these details. I'm fully happy to call it a carry-out bag or a bonsai bag. I don't care what it's called. It doesn't matter what it's called. So we can work.
We have a calendar. We can try to come up with a date.
Okay.
Can I just? I just want to address that one issue. I do reuse them, and I have been trying to think, what will I use to line my kitchen trash pail. I have a perfect balance. I mean, you know, because I bring my own bags, but occasionally I end up getting a bag. And I can't remember what the difference is, but every time I go into the grocery store, and I'll go back out to the car if I forget it. But sometimes
I grab a box, I'm too lazy.
If I go to a pharmacy or something else, I forget. So I have exactly enough bags to line the trash pails, and I'm wondering what I'm going to do when we do.
They also, sometimes they throw, the other issue is they often throw meat
into them. That doesn't solve the garbage
problem. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so that's
well, they also throw meat into them a lot of times. So that's another issue that you, how do you deal with that?
No, it's written in there where that will, you'll still be allowed to do that from the fish counter.
Or if you're getting loose vegetables, you can still use those.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that because I never knew that. To be honest with you, if I buy them, I don't put them in a bag because I don't want to use the extra bag. So I usually, I just bring them.
Oh, you're saying when you have a reusable bag and they said you want us to put it in plastic first?
Yeah, a lot of times, like if you buy meat, in other words, you buy a chicken or a steak at you know, you're bringing it in and when you put it up on the counter, they'll automatically, many of them will automatically put it in a bag by itself.
You'll have to bring your own because
but then you have that,
wash your canvas bag.
Yeah. I don't take
so
them.
You don't get salmonella. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I don't take them.
If you're that worried, pay the nickel. You know, they will sure a lot of those.
No, we're doing away with them. You can't pay the nickel.
Well, no. What they're going to end up having to do is do like a slightly thicker reusable bag, or it'll be, a 15 mil bag or something. Where you would just end up using that over and over for like your chicken for a huge.
Well,
or you could
get
the vegetable. I mean, you could in stores like Adams at where the meat department is. They have a roll bag like the vegetable bags that you can pull out and put your meat in that bag. So you could do that. I mean, I think we will adapt. I think Manna, you will adapt. I mean, if you have to separate your wet and dry garbage and have garbage without a liner.
Everything that's wet. My garbage is dry.
Oh, then you don't need a liner.
I don't want to, you know.
This is what happens every time.
We're running out of room. Globally. There's a population problem. We don't have anywhere to put it.
I have to go buy it instead of reuse one that I already have.
I use bread bags for my bathroom garbage, which works because you get them once a week.
You can have
the bread bags. You know how, like, when you get a loaf of bread, it comes in that? That works if it's just one of those little bathroom ones.
If this wasn't going to hurt a little, they would have done it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's going to hurt a little.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a question of what makes sense.
Okay.
There's no meeting scheduled on the 11th. If you needed to have a second one, you could have it on the 18th, and you could still get resolution deadlines not till the 25th. So you could still get something finalized if you had it on the 18th or the
11th. I could do the 11th.
I'm down with both.
18th, I don't know if I could do. But I'd say sooner than later. If 11th is still
what tomorrow. Happens about a quorum, and do we have to limit how many people are there?
No, we're going to have a meeting, a committee.
It's going to be a special committee meeting that'll focus on this
topic. And we're going to invite people beyond this committee, but
it'll be just a noticed committee meeting.
We'll notice it.
Yeah.
And you're saying April 18th?
11th. The 11th.
April 11th.
But then if we need another week, we have the 18th.
Okay.
What day is the 11th?
It's a Wednesday.
The 11th is Wednesday.
And obviously there's nothing other scheduled that day.
Not in here.
The day after caucus. Yeah, that's great. What time?
You want to do 6 o'clock, 5:30.
Okay, six is better for
Manna. 6 o'clock
is better for
you,
Joanna.
Yeah.
Davey.
Yeah. Does that
work for you? Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I don't know.
Okay. Special meeting. Okay. And we're going to call this a special meeting of energy and environment just to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll notice it tomorrow.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Is that a special meeting of the committee, or is that a hearing? That's not a hearing?
It's not a hearing.
Okay.
No. Of the committee. But you're welcome to come.
Okay.
So can I ask that everybody...
decide what we're going to do about the
two. Want me to quick summarize?
All right.
These, or just quick rundown, just so everybody has it in their mind. So the points, and there may be more, but the points use it. When I went through 120 that I thought most needed discussion are one, the definition of a covered store. This draft basically includes all stores that engage in retail sales. Some examples, like the one that Dave put in, focus on stores that deal in foodstuffs. The other issue that we need to be at least have the conversation about is there are examples where restaurants are exempted, particularly for takeout food, but that is more often, and correct me if I'm wrong, in markets where they have very big takeout and delivery models, so they're worried about leakage. I don't think it's as relevant for Ulster County. I mean, I think exempting restaurants were fine, but we can have that discussion. The definition of single-use plastic bag, I exempted, we talked about this already, the non-point-of-sale bags, pharmacy bags, department bags, so we just want to make sure that everybody's on board with that. The minimum charge, it's up for discussion. I put 5 cents in the draft. We could have whatever number we settle on, it's fine. The regulation of reusable bags, so I put in a grace period, and I would like to change that. I changed it, I think, in the draft. I put in a grace period immediately following adoption. I think that's a mistake, because once we adopt, once the law's in effect, we want to be really clear that the law's in effect. This grace period is for allowing to give away free reusable bags, not free banned bags, but as a promotional piece, as an education piece. And almost all regulation, including what's been submitted to the state, allows for a period of time where they can be given away free. All the rest of the time, there has to be a charge. So we need to discuss when that grace period is. The most common model I saw was around the holidays, the winter holidays, but I think Earth Day is also a logical time to put the grace period. We just have to decide. I am proposing that we remove the section that I put in of record keeping and inspection. It existed in a lot of the models I saw, but that's the one that I expect that we would get pushback, both in terms of privacy issues, people feeling like it's the big brother being able to look into their private businesses by checking their records, and also the burden of keeping these records.
And sounds going to do it?
Yeah. I'm proposing we just get rid of it, and that's it. I mean, we can talk about that. The posting signs, I followed the most common models, but I want to have a discussion about whether the county should provide sample signage. We don't have to write that into our law, and whether or not the county should actually make available signs, something to discuss. The enforcement is something that I think we need to have a discussion with the executive's office, because they're the ones who are going to actually be...
Yeah.
I've spoken to them some.
Maybe somebody will be available on the 11th.
Yep. I wrote in the Department of the Environment. I'm leaning, and our previous committee was leaning toward Department of Weights and Measures, and I think we need to have a full discussion. But I think wherever it lives,
right,
it lives. Like, that's, I don't think we should get caught up on that. I think we should defer on that.
Right.
Violation penalties. This legislation allows for a written warning before the first violation and increasing penalties. So I just wanted to make sure everyone looked at it and was happy with it. Effective date, I wrote in January 1st, but I want to make sure that we have enough time, so we have to decide whether we want to put in a firm date based on when we pass the legislation, or a date that is X amount of months following signature of the state. We've done both ways before, so... and the last thing that I didn't put in, but I just want to bring up because it's something that's likely to come up, is the issue of exemptions. We talked about it at length in the previous committee about whether or not we allow for exemptions for those people on public assistance. I'm going to circulate a New York Times piece that raised some really interesting points on that subject that I hadn't thought of before. The previous committee was pretty uniformly against the exemptions, but... Yeah. I think we have to have a talk. I am too. But let's have the conversation
least,
so we can say that
we made a decision.
And those are those are the main points on 120 that I think we need to find where we sit.
So what you're doing is you're going to ban just referred to as single use, but they can give other plastic bags. Is that correct?
Beyond the threshold, yeah.
That is one of the options.
Yes.
I don't want to do any plastic, but
I mean that's what you know, and then like I pointed out, I think it's odd because Aldi's actually sells the papers
for
$7.
They can't give them; they have to pay for them.
I know that they sell the well. They don't give any of that away. You have to put a quarter in to bring your card in. Mm-hmm. They sell the paper for 7 cents, and then they sell the plastic for 10.
Yeah.
But they're a thicker plastic that's you're going to be able to reuse. And you know what?
Get one of those bags so you can fill
the
ones.
Yeah.
I have them. I have a couple of minutes. But I mean, they do is the reason. And they have the plastic bags, and very few people actually buy the paper bags because they're not reusable. You know, they're not as reusable. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you can use it. I mean, I've used paper bags 3 or 4 times.
I think I was thinking about in imagining the legislation more the very heavy, you know, the fold up plastic bags that look like a paper bag with a handle that goes on your shoulder. I was thinking more like those kind of plastic bags.
But these are not.
But I hear you. In this legislation, I put in 4 mLs because a lot of the newer legislation is raising that 2.25 for exactly the reason Jordan said, that margin can be tiny enough that some stores can eat it, and now it's even worse because there's more plastics. I'm open to that being even higher. I think that's something we just have to talk about. Yeah. But I was definitely more talking about reusable bags. Not so much. Because this one allows for recyclable bags and then reusable bags.
Right. So we can all take a closer look and come back with whatever other things we
right,
have.
So they'd have to be, in other words, the idea would be no matter what bag you got, you're going to pay for it.
Well, right.
And that's the way it should be done.
Yes.
It's the only way that you can do it if you're going to have it effective. And you have to have bags. People have to have bags to bring home because not everybody, because a lot of people are nitwits like me and leave it in the car. So every once in a while, I'll probably only do that a little bit, though. I mean, if I get charged. But see, like I said, at Aldi's, I can grab a box.
Yeah.
So the idea here is you've got to charge or it's not going to work.
Right.
Now, that's the European model. In Europe, nobody gives away a free bag. There's no such thing as a free bag. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I went to a grocery store when I was in Europe quite a long time ago, and it was like, I got some groceries. Say, do you want a bag? I'm thinking this was way back when it was just common. You get a bag, you know. Most people, then it was more of a paper bag, but even then, you had to pay for the bags.
So I had
8 different items. Well, how am I going to get it all? And
so
they said, okay, well then you're only 10 cents then, you know. And that was, you know, probably worth 30 cents today.
How do we want to handle the resolutions? Just put them both on hold.
You guys aren't willing to co-sponsor and just cross one out.
We're
going to be.
I don't have a problem with it. You want me to pull the one? I'll pull it. I mean, apparently, Tracy doesn't want
to
work with me.
Yeah, so we'll just take no action on these tonight.
Do you need a motion?
No. Okay,
you
don't need a motion. So we'll just take no action on that.
We'll take no action,
and we will. Be focused on that only on the 11th.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you.
Did we have a motion to move Resolution 142?
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
I will move 142.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Amending
capital project.
Mary, before she leaves, can we get any other information that she wants to give us?
Maybe
before?
She can come.
Do you have any specific information or questions for tonight, or I can come back on the 11th?
Oh, all right. If you don't mind doing the 11th. No, I don't want to, have you, having a schlep over here again,
I think it would be, especially if Laura can be here on the 11th,
right.
I feel like
yeah.
it would be super helpful
yeah, she needs
for you to
I
be
think
here.
Everybody
because,
that we can
yeah.
can be in the same
yeah,
room.
Yeah, because I think some of Laura's
really
concerns you could address with more authority. Than
yeah. Well, because I think that what she wants is exactly what we wanted, and we did
right.
it, and it failed. So,
yeah.
yeah, I definitely get where she's coming from. That's what we had always assumed, too, would be the best thing.
Right. And some of her concerns, I think, too, have to do with... challenges. So that would speak to coming from, especially after this, the recent relief release report, which everybody has here. So.
Thank you. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. So,
thank you.
Amending capital project 488, installation of shoulders along Route 299, towns of New Paltz and Gardner, transportation improvement project, not on the state highway system. Amending the 2018-2023 capital improvement program and declaration of intent to serve as lead agency under the CEPR Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. Do you have any discussion?
299 is a county road.
Yep.
If that section, some sections it's state, but that section's county.
So
that's where the woman was hit.
That's
the bicycle.
Where, skydiver. That's great. So we're extending the shoulders. Manna, did you have meter ready? That's what it is. Your committee is it extending the shoulders?
Yeah.
That's great. That's so necessary.
So we need to
the first.
They added the stop sign to it.
The stop sign helped a lot for sure, but it's a really dangerous road for multi-use.
All right, any other discussion?
No, but I would like to be added to this one, too.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Motion carried. Thank you. Okay. Manna.
We'll have a little packet in the back of the climate smart business.
Oh, thank you.
And I took the 120 out of there because I want to return.
Okay.
Okay.
Just a quick announcement, of course, that for those of you who did not yet hear the Tingene or heard it and want others to hear it, there are three more presentations that I know of in April. And actually, there's one in addition here.
It was very good.
There's one coming up this Saturday at the Basilica in Hudson. But these are all local. The next thing I want to just be sure everybody is aware of, and I think I may have mentioned it last time, is the Climate Smart Goals, and that's this one. The first one is to get every town and city in Ulster County to become a Climate Smart Committee and ideally send somebody to our Climate Smart meeting so that it really can be a networking vehicle. And I won't go into too many details. The map is at a glance who needs to join and who already has. The second one is what I wanted to make the committee aware of, and that's coming along really well, and it's the Green Business Challenge to get 100 businesses to undertake a significant energy retrofit, install solar, preferably with battery storage, purchase EVs or a charging station, and there are a couple subsets like an energy retrofit could include changing out lighting, it could include air sealing and insulation, it could include changing out your heating and air conditioning, your HVAC system to a more efficient system. And so we've gathered a committee that includes representatives from economic development and also Amanda's committee. And I think Cornell may also send somebody. But it's a committee of people who are working in these fields that can answer a whole series of questions which are highlighted in this draft Ulster County Green Business Challenge, such as what do I need to know, what's the difference between an energy audit and a retrofit, what do I need to know, where do I get one, how much will it cost, are there incentives, and the same thing with solar. You know, helping businesses to understand what is suitable, what's the low-hanging fruit, where are they going to get the highest and shortest return on investment. And the process is to train 20 or 30 people from around the county, so at least one person from every municipality. We'll be inviting EMC members, CAC and ECC members, Climate Smart Committee members. Rotary has adopted sustainability and climate mitigation as primary goals, objectives to be worked on, and so we may get some Rotarians, but to have a group of about 20 or 30 people go through a training, and SUNY New Paltz has offered to host it, to be able to answer basic questions, and then if the questions get more sophisticated, to know who to send them to get those answers. And if you look through here, you can see that there are a lot of websites. And originally, this was going to be for the businesses, and we may develop something, but this is turning out to be a toolkit for training the what are being called ambassadors to go out into the community. An example is that in Rosendale, a couple of years ago, Jen Metzger picked two businesses in town and worked with them to do an energy retrofit or install solar or both. And she held their hand, and she went back and stopped by every week and said, how's it going? What else do you need? Here's the financing options, all of that. And so she would share her experience. And if we get 20 or 30 people that are willing to, over the course of 6 months, reach out to, say, 10 businesses and end up securing a commitment from 4 or 5, we can actually meet this goal. It wouldn't count just to have an energy audit, because there are too many energy audits that sit on the shelf. You would have to translate that energy audit into an energy retrofit or a solar system, or buy locally generated solar from some of the new community solar projects that are coming on board. That is helping our local economy. And so just buying 100% renewable energy, as the county does, it's helping the climate because it's subsidizing recyclables, but it's not impacting our local economy. And we want to do that both with the businesses and the businesses they do business with.
Yeah. I have two questions. Are you, because the Rotary has adopted it, I know in one of my communities, a very active Rotary, and it happens to be one of the communities that isn't Climate Smart community. So I'm wondering if you've thought of engaging the Rotary to also engage the communities, or just kind of cross-referencing, because I don't know if across the county it's the same as in my community, but Rotaries tend to be really activated, motivated groups. So that's my one thought. And then the other is, are you involving the EIC directly as a resource with getting these businesses to consider, because I think that's also something that's been underutilized. Just you and I worked so hard in getting that initially, and I don't know how it's getting promoted within the county. Such a great resource.
It is listed, I believe, let's see, in terms of financing. So PACE financing is the first one, but there are also a lot of banks and other institutions. So because this is a county initiative, we're not favoring any.
Right.
But I forgot the next most important step, and that is once we have people trained, we don't want to just advertise this and hope. We want to get the people that are actually going to work on it. When we get them trained, we're going to do a launch, which we're going to try to get a chamber breakfast and a morning-long training session. And then if people are specifically interested, there would be vendors right there to talk to, a vendor show, whole... which, by the way, is exactly what we did 20 years ago when we were trying to get businesses and institutions to recycle. The residents were coming along.
But, I remember when you did that.
But the businesses, have other things on their mind, that recycling wasn't a priority. Mm-hmm. But once we showed them how easy it was, the haulers were required to pick it up. In most cases, there wasn't even an additional charge because the haulers were paying less to get rid of the waste. And where they could get the bins. And you may remember there was a 24-page booklet that answered all their questions. This may or may not turn out to be that. I don't think it's as necessary to have it in writing as to have somebody who can say, here's your first step, here's your second step, and they will have a toolkit to work from. So it's a very ambitious goal, but I feel like we've been talking about reducing greenhouse gases, and the county has made some significant progress. Mm-hmm. And the focus of the mission, the focus of the Climate Smart Committee is to look at climate at countywide facilities, but it's also to understand and implement what the county as a whole can do. So this is an educational project that is going to have some real tangible, measurable results.
Yeah.
So
yes. Oh no.
Oh, I
question. No, sorry.
So I don't know if anybody has any questions. There are several other goals, but we're kind of focused on the first two right now. We've done the third goal, which was to have a climate change presentation to the legislature, and we'll keep the legislature posted of additional opportunities. And we recommend and had a public hearing, and hopefully we'll pass the Energy Improvement Corporation. We're working very closely with the Department of Environment and the Economic Development Alliance. Is that, do I have that right? Is that EDA? It is. It's not a department, right?
Is it agency or alliance?
Agency, yes. Thank you. And then the other drawdown solutions, the need for regional energy planning and a green jobs pipeline. I think that's too much to think about. We'll see where we are the second half.
Public beneficiary corporation.
I do want to say that we've had some conversations with Cornell Cooperative Extension, because agriculture and forestry are really key to climate solutions as well. You can do all you want with energy, but you've also got to address transportation, buildings, cities. There's a whole lot. But what people tend to overlook when they're thinking about energy savings and generating renewable energy and storage and that whole energy spectrum is that will reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. But if we really want to solve the problem, we've got to use the ability of the earth to sequester carbon. And that's what sustainable agriculture and forestry practices. So I mentioned this to the executive director of Cornell Cooperative Extension. He bought two copies of Drawdown, and they are having that discussion within Cornell Cooperative Extension, and they are willing to be a resource to us as we do this green building challenge. There was one other suggestion. I don't know if it made it into this draft yet, and that is if a business is a primarily a food restaurant, food service business, hospitals, schools, a business with a cafeteria, if they switch over to a hauler that will, they generate a lot of food waste, and they make sure that goes to a composting facility, especially as we're expanding the countywide composting facility, they're going to have the capacity. So if they switch over, that would also qualify. And now we're thinking about, you know, are we going to do a plaque, or how are we going to honor these businesses?
What if they switch over to giving their waste to a pig farmer?
A pig farmer would count.
That's where my daycare waste goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because some people do that. In other words, I mean, not necessarily a pig farmer, but I'm using that for
animal food. That's the one thing is, it can't be something you're already doing. It has to be, you know, a change that you made as a result of this initiative. So, anyway, that's a quick overview.
Well, you might be able to give something and at least a recognition that somebody that's been doing something like that for a long time already. I mean, if somebody's been doing this and they're doing it on their own, I mean, they just, you know, you could recognize them and say that, you know, this person has been doing this thing for a long time, and, you know, we need to be more like him, or we, you know.
Our family cafe has been doing that for 20 years. We put all the compost into buckets, and pig farmers, local farmers, Lydia's Country Deli.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So you might be able to get, like, the paper to write a story about them, too.
Yes. And let me just, on that topic, say that what we want to do is feature them as good examples when we launch. So I think Tom Kakandis will talk about that large solar system that's pictured in the handout out on Ulster Avenue, and probably somebody will talk about the county system. So that there can be a section on that and people can ask questions. How did you finance it? How did you pick your vendor? How did you, you know, so forth. So we've started to map out who the case studies are going to be, but that's one way of acknowledging. And I think listing, as we go through this process, listing those really good examples in a press release and, you know, showcasing some of them is another way to really kick this off in a way. Everyone's worried about the businesses who aren't going to do it, but if you think of, there's something called, and forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but the social diffusion curve. It's just a bell-shaped curve, and there's a long lag period where the cultural creators and the early adopters, the Lydias of the world, do this. But right now, we're moving very rapidly into that logarithmic phase of, instead of it just being the early adopters, it's now starting to be the early majority who bring the later majority along, and the laggards may never come along. There's going to be people that are never going to want to bring their bag, and they're always going to pay whatever it is.
And have a coal-fired...
But it doesn't matter, because 85% of the population is
clean coal, though.
The change. So,
I just want to say on that subject, I think we, as a county, I think it's great that the Climate Smart Committee is doing so much and thinking through so many of these issues. And I think we as a county have to do a better job of recognizing sort of the heroes out there, even heroes. And Mary and I have talked about it a lot in relation to the polystyrene law. Just like, I'm sure Lydia's is complying, we should be giving you a sticker to put on your door that says "Proud Ulster County Green Business, Polystyrene Free," because it's
Mike
a way.
it's a way of reminding the public that, you know, they're participating in something that's a great functional change. It began as legislation, and I just think as a county we don't do that enough. We don't in terms of promoting the business.
Either.
It
yeah.
doesn't, and we're just gonna have to do it on our own, you and I. But on that subject, yeah. but I think there's so many subjects where we could recognize those people out in the community that are, as you're talking about, at the earliest part of the curve, and just having that recognition will start to pull other people along the curve, because as people go, and even consumers,
sometimes
as consumers walk in, if a consumer knew that you were taking the food waste and giving it to local pig farmers, which maybe they all do, but it would make me happier about going to that restaurant, because I would feel better about the food that I left on the plate.
And it may also destigmatize. There's a stigma, because I'm learning, I have to be honest with you. And there's a stigma associated with this, like many other things, and people are scared of it, and they because it's foreign to them. And if they recognize other businesses or homes or families that are doing it, and they say, wow, they're doing it, I should learn about this. And maybe they'll feel comfortable asking them about it as well.
Yeah.
And it removes the stigma that's associated with it. Oftentimes people don't participate because it feels so overwhelming. So, like, I laugh because I remember 20 years ago in Rosendale when you did introduce the recycling, and, like, people were pulling their hair out. Like, what is this Matt and Joe coming to town telling us to recycle? And it seemed very overwhelming. But if you look towards your neighbors and business owners that you frequent, and they're doing it, you may feel more comfortable in asking questions and doing it yourself.
And those people that I found, you know, watching it over the 10 and a half years I was working,
they got on board.
They were the people that became the best advocates for it.
Mm-hmm.
Once they this isn't so bad.
Yes, yeah.
And I have less garbage, and da, 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 you know, mm-hmm. and they were the ones who then, so another thing to remember, I'm just thinking about this, is we have Pride Awards, Pride of Ulster County Awards.
Yeah, that's true.
And that can, you know, instead of them only going to Eagle Scouts, they can be, you know, businesses.
Recognize.
We can add one that's specifically
for their efforts.
Designed for that, what they're doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think like Joe...
Environmental All-Star or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Joe said earlier, you know, change, and to your point, change can be hard. So it's sometimes, I think, how you frame it. I mean, I hadn't heard it before, but when Jordan said the bring your bag legislation, you know, you just think about the difference in terminology.
Mm-hmm.
The plastic bag ban legislation, plastic bag
is
regulation versus bring your bag legislation.
Which is a
positive. It's all how you frame it. And I think that it just reminds me, and I'm glad that you brought it up, just reminds me that I think we need to do a better job, and it's something that, you know, can come from the legislature, that we can start to think about how we instill pride
but
in the businesses in the county that are doing
great.
A great job.
We can present
already.
It as a positive and not as
like
a ban.
I think we should.
Makes it sound like a bad thing.
I have two more very quick things, if I
may.
One, I just passed this around. It's... from the there, we are a climate smart community, but the people that are paid to work on this out of the Hudson Valley Regional Council are called clean energy communities. And Europa McGovern did a baseline. It's based on 2010 data, but she did one for every town and the county, so they have sort of a baseline to start with. If they can update it to 2018 with real data, that's all the better. But this was from existing data, and the comptroller's office, every year, all the municipalities have to report their energy use. So the comptroller's office has it. And so somebody's going to be looking into...
County comptroller or state comptroller?
State.
Okay.
So that's this. And then... I just want
to. You have a digital copy of that too, Amanda?
Yes.
Can you circulate that?
I'll
maybe
send
to Fawn and phone.
To Fawn to send around.
Thank you.
Europa is making that available, and they are going to be hand holding businesses, rather municipalities, to do what's called benchmarking, which is figuring out their baseline and then collecting data every year to see how they're progressing toward goals. And we will, Amanda is working on countywide goals, like a countywide climate action plan. We don't have that yet, and hopefully it'll come out in draft where we can give input. The last thing I want to mention is that last week, Scenic Hudson held a wonderful day-long conference on scaling up renewables and how that impacts land use. So we don't want to be paving over prime farmland. That's our food security, and it's also the, but what are the good ways? I mean, there are ways of developing solar on farms where you can still have animals grazing, you can still be growing things and using the marginal lands, landscaping, so that it's not so, you know, just a whole area covered over with solar. And it was, they had to turn people away. This was at the Wallace Center, which holds at least 150 people, maybe 200 people. And a lot of them were on zoning boards and planning boards. So when I say that, you know, things are starting to really take off, so I'm just going to pass this around. This is definitely available online, the Accelerating Large-Scale Wind and Solar in New York. And I think that Scenic Hudson's guide to siting renewable energy in the Hudson Valley is also. So that's it on my report.
Thank you.
Thank you for bearing with me.
Dave, did you have anything you want to say? Or?
Well, maybe. Just a couple things. Just
why don't you come up, sit at the table so the reporter picks you?
Well, my heavens, I don't know. All right. For those of you who don't know, I'm Dave Haldeman. I sit on the chair of the county's Environmental Council. Just to let you know, we're watching the situation in the town of Ulster with the proposal on the power plant there. What we have done is crafted a letter that basically is pointing out, neither negatively or positively, the environmental concerns that may be associated with that and offering our expertise and background in exploring them further for the town, plus encouraging the Cat Town to set up its own either Environmental Council or CAC, which they do not have. What else? Just on this solar thing that just came up, I don't know whether you're aware, but the town of Shangham, which is where I'm from, there's a proposal for a 96-acre solar farm on the old Borden property, the historic Borden farm, which is still being farmed now hundreds of years later here. The town itself is just putting a law that basically is restricting solar venues to 20 acres and protecting forest land from not going into a 50-acre plot of forest and just taking it all down to put solar in, for example. And the state, in its wisdom, has decided the Public Service Commission would take over responsibility for all solar installations greater than 25 megawatts. Megawatts, kilowatts, I'm not sure there, but I think it's megawatts. Which is really interesting, because that takes the responsibility away from the town in terms of a town having any decision-making process in that. The latest that I heard from the town's attorney is that the company's actually going to go in with a 24.5, because they don't want to deal with the Public Service Commission. They're still going to have to deal with us. And they're threatening lawsuits on us because we're restricting their ability to use the land the way they want to use it. So just be aware of that that's out there. It may hit your towns, too, and it may be a concern of the...
What company?
Oh, gosh, I don't know the company right off the top of my head.
And you know, can I ask a question, too?
Sure.
Does the law in Shangham provide for subdividing a property? Because I automatically think, well, what would stop the property owner from, you know,
you mean like
dividing it into three lots and doing three 25-acre, four lots, doing four 25-acre
In my recollection, having read the thing, I do not believe that that's in there. But
that's might stuff be to go in front of the planning about. Board, though, and then for permitted use and whatever else also. So the planning board would have a say.
Would have a say, right. But the planning board doesn't always know why you might be asking for a subdivision.
Yeah, if you did it way prior to.
Yeah. In the case of this one, it wouldn't be. But it's interesting. I feel like the offers on the table from these companies have gone up so much that I can see why, people are attempting to kind of jump on land that's otherwise essentially vacant or not reaping very much financial reward, that suddenly these are real numbers that are being offered. And so it's certainly something that communities have to think about.
Also,
and as you said, the property owners have to think about, because the number sounds really great, but it's a question too of how are your property rights protected when you sign that piece of paper and start getting. So I think about sometimes about the fracking deals that were cut for people for their properties. You know, it felt great to get tens of thousands of dollars, but at the back end, not necessarily so much.
I just want to say that one of the companies, the two big companies that were proposing very large projects and taking up the room in the cube were Solar City and Cypress Creek. There may be others, but those are the ones I knew of. And after the Scenic Hudson event, I got a call from, I think, he's chief of operations at Cypress Creek. He used to be in the governor's office, and they did a presentation on pollinator-friendly landscaping around solar projects. Promoting pollinator-friendly species is a very good thing to be doing. But we talked, and I told him that this company got off on a really bad foot in this area because their contracts completely stripped the property owners of property rights. If you signed a contract and it took advantage of farmers who were living on the margin, and now they're hearing, $40,000 a year rental fees, that's very tempting. But in the process, the company decided everything, where it went, what building stayed or came down, and there was nothing about decommissioning it 25, 30 years later. All of that is changing because we raised serious concerns. And so I got a call, and they want to work with communities more favorably. So if it's Cypress Creek, we may be able to do something.
I think that's the one coming to Marbletown.
Yes.
Chinties.
Yeah. So if it's another company, I don't know if they have that commitment, but I think he was very sincere in saying they know they got off on the wrong foot and they want to change that. And I told him about Drawdown, and he ordered a copy while we were on the phone, and he said after he read it, and he wants to make sure that, now we'll see whether this plays out or if it's a sales pitch. I didn't get the sense that it was, but he said that he wants his company to be modeling climate solutions, not just being a solar developer. So if you can find out who the company is, maybe we can help a little bit.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, and Manna, to that point, do you have a hand raised? To that point, it's unfortunate because I know, because so many communities were tackling and are continuing to tackle this issue as they're thinking about, primarily began, how do I want my community to look? Do I want these large-scale projects happening in terms of the visual and aesthetic discussion? To me, it's unfortunate because it inevitably put a kind of damper or a negative spin on solar. You know, whereas for years, I mean, I remember when Manna and I, we took a trip to, and Mary, you were there too, I think, to to the solid waste facility in Rockland County, and they had a giant array, and Mana was, you know, in seventh dimension, that was the most beautiful thing she had ever seen. And so, but it really, it changed the tenor of discussion in communities to being something that needed to be banned, regulated, and it does need to be regulated, but I think the predatory nature of some of these companies, unfortunately, changed that conversation. So hopefully we'll reach some settling.
Some balance.
Yes, balance, and we'll come back.
Oh, okay.
Geronimo Energy, Cypress Creek Renewables, or Granada Solar are the choices that could be.
Well, let's see if, you know, we can have a conversation and make this, because they claim they really want to,
you know, not to for our districts, because we're rural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not going to see it in the cities. It's, mm-hmm. They're coming to our districts because of the rural nature of it. It's where they can put 20 acres.
Yeah. Yeah, and they also, you know, proximity, mm-hmm. which I think the Borden Farm has, proximity to power lines, mm-hmm. something that's really negative normally, but when you have a power line running, or even better, you know, a substation on your property, which normally you'd think, oh, that's terrible, that makes the property even more desirable for these big companies.
They also said that they are going to, wherever possible, start installing battery backups with mm-hmm. their solar systems mm-hmm. to ensure reliability and resilience. So,
Dave,
you know,
yep.
I'm sorry.
Just one other. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's
just one other quick area that you can. We as a council have sent a letter to the state legislature with regard to the disposal of pharmaceuticals, encouraging them to go ahead and pass the bill that's before them at this time. But we'll see what happens there. Last time it got watered down considerably. But
I don't think it would come through this
where
committee.
Although maybe this committee would be
I think it would.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've talked about it in caucus. I know that locally police stations have drop-off sites, but they're limited. They don't take sharps. They don't take anything other than pills.
No
so
creams.
So when you have liquids and creams.
Patches.
And after my father-in-law passed away, I mean, I had bottles of morphine that were liquid, and they wouldn't take them. So I think we need to, in the county, address easy access. I also had to get rid of sharps for someone, and diabetic, and I had to go to the other side of the river to a hospital.
No,
I was like, I couldn't figure
them.
Out where to take, but it's not easily
determined.
It's not easily. Mm-hmm. I went to the pharmacy. I went to the police station, and no sharps. And so
we had a program
needs to
where
be much
every pharmacy.
Every
and
assisted
every
living facility has those if you know anybody.
Took them back, and we
houses
gave
in every
away
neighborhood.
Free sharps containers. And we did that for 10 years. And then, so the agency could take responsibility for that. It's under their
purview. Well, and if we as a legislature pass legislation requiring that, I mean, we can think about a whole many different models, and Dave's provided me with some, but there's, you know, there are communities that have passed legislation, the state's looking at it, but there are counties that have passed legislation, but we can do any kind of model we're interested in. I know the executive was talking about requiring that the chain pharmacies accept, although he wasn't speaking to all, just they take back what they sell, I guess. You know, I think it has to be even broader than that, and I think we should be discussing it.
I think it's very important, not only environmentally, but in the wake of the recent opioid epidemic, getting them out of our medicine cabinets, not disposing of them into our waterways, mm-hmm. and disposing of them properly.
Not leaving them for children
Absolutely.
Or anyone to take, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it needs to be the easiest means. I mean, I think we need to really think through how do we make it most accessible and how do we promote it then, in
PSA.
A way that everyone knows. Yeah.
I think PSA should be coming out of the environmental committee. I mean, I still think about when Tim Rose came in and told us how many times they got to shut the conveyor off just because of Wish recycling. That's a PSA that would be, I mean, you could almost quantify it. They're going to be able to tell us, oh my goodness, we're not shutting the plant down as much, we're not throwing as much contaminated stuff out because only, you know, we've noticed. I can't listen to another, I mean, look, drinking and driving is bad, flu shots are important, but oh my goodness, how about telling the people of Ulster County stuff they don't know with these PSAs? So that's why, especially environmental stuff, that's what I think when we put up these things. A lot of the people that come to these workshops and stuff that we're putting on are people that are looking into doing this stuff anyways. We have to get the people that, you know, to the information that aren't coming to these workshops. 99% of the county, I think we're using these PSAs all wrong. The only reason I'm thinking about it is because I put that thing up that had to do with whose name goes into it. But that's what, you know, that's something good that may come out of it. I really think, as you guys talk about all these things, PSAs are such a valuable tool for us to inform people, hey, this is where this, where Ulster County is now taking on sharps, and you know, this is where you're going to be able to find it. That's, that could be so effective. Or the wish recycling. I really think we should do one on that.
Can we put that PSAs on the agenda for next month's meeting? And I think, Joe, that's an excellent idea. I'm glad you brought it back up because I remember when
we talked about it with
the Tim Rose discussion, but we have never taken advantage of it as a legislature, and PSAs are free. You know, a lot of these organizations, I think that in the interim, maybe Fawn or the staff can do some research with the radio stations about what it takes, and why don't we just, this committee, just start moving it. Let's start narrowing down topics and issues and start putting them through.
Maybe next week, month, we come in
with
some
topic,
ideas.
Yeah.
I got
instead
two
of
that
yeah,
I really
there's so much
yep.
we so often sure. because so much goes on that was two meetings ago. You know, two meetings ago, and then there's and other things come up, and
right.
so let's put it on the agenda and let's make the first one happen.
Yeah,
let's just do
and
it.
Then we can hand off what we want in it to the exec, and then they go and do it the same way they've been doing it. But I really think that the single
we can do it directly
stream.
Too.
I mean,
our
I'm
own
down.
People can record you know. It, or the radio people can record it. We just need to. Narrow down what are the things that we really want to promote.
Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah.
Yes.
Motion to adjourn by Bartel, seconded by Green. And we're going to adjourn at 8:00. Thank you.
It's so funny because so often in the legislature and in committees, we're completely.